Welcome to the greatest men's club in the world. It's not a country club, it's a grilling club, where every weekend they're going to talk about taking an animal and throwing it on some scorching flames and turning it into the tastiest morsels of goodness on this earth. As a matter of fact, it's kind of caveman, but they don't drag women into their cave. No, they're going to teach you how to make that food so good you can lure them into your cave and keep her hair looking good. When you want to find the center of the barbecue universe, just look at a map of North America and look for that big grilling mitt. That's where they're at. It's the Grilling Guys.
Welcome. You are listening to Grilling Guys on the Grilling Guys Talk Network. Hey, it's the weekend. We're in mid-March. You get a little taste of spring, and then wham, winter came back just like that. So still got some buddies that are doing a little ice fishing in northern Michigan.
The skinny guys.
Yeah, they're skinny guys, right. Yeah, but anyway, I'm Jop, and he's Barbecue Bob. You are listening to Grilling Guys. What's cooking, baby?
Hey, it is, and we're excited to be here. It's the weekend, so it's like the best time of the week. You can forget about work unless you're in the retail business or law enforcement or military. In that case, you know what your job is. But we do enjoy our weekends. We like getting our grills fired up, our smokers, deep fryers, whatever we're going to do. And this show today is going to be really cool. So get a cup of coffee, sit back, and get ready for all sorts of cool stuff. We're going to talk all about turkey hunting and gun safety, since guns are in the news so much right now and all the crazies are, you know, rattling their cages. We thought we'd just talk about all the normal people out there and the safe people that have guns and own and operate them properly.
Yeah. So what'd you do this week?
I just worked my little keister off, you know, trying to get that carrier banner out across America.
Right.
But I wanted to talk a little bit about what I got to do after we're done here this morning.
What's that?
I'm going to go home and I'm going to put together my Silverback from Grilla. It's a smoker from Holland, Michigan.
That's Grilla.
Yes, sir.
Right?
Grilla. Yes, sir. And my old buddy Mark Graham runs that show over there, and he sent me a note saying he wants a review. He's had it reviewed by a person or two. One of them's a chef that's making all his sauces.
Okay.
And so I said, yeah, I'd be happy to. I haven't used a pellet grill since for a year, probably, since I gave you that one.
Well, well, let me tell you a little pellet grill story, and it ties in with the guns, because there is a barbecue competition company out there called Smokin' Guns, and they make a barbecue powder called gunpowder. So it's Smokin' Guns barbecue powder.
Nice.
And but I use that on a pretty regular basis.
Really?
I get it over at Sobey Meats. It's got a little bit of heat to it, but just a really good flavor. And our friends at Squirrel Barbecue are the ones that turned me on to
it.
And I mix that with a little Cimarron Dock's barbecue rub, and it's kind of a 50-50, and I put it on pork. Where am I going with this? I used that dry rub on a pork loin, but as opposed to leaving it round, I butterflied it, you know, trimmed it out so it was flat and about 2 inches thick.
Let me guess.
But I overcooked the crap out of that thing. And it was, you know, I had my normal idea of how much time it took on my pellet smoker to cook a pork loin.
Well,
I've done
stop.
Dozens
now,
of them.
Hold on. Just, you're all wound up because you ruined a piece of meat.
Right.
I understand that's
right.
That's sacrilege.
Right.
Were you having a beverage when you were doing this?
Well, you always have a beverage when you're cooking, especially on a pellet smoker, because it's set it and forget it.
Did you have
it,
maybe
right?
a couple and get a little daydreamy, take a nap in the chair?
Well, maybe you know how I do this. Yeah. But but anyway, at the end of the day, I cooked the stuff. I even had a thermometer in it with a, you know, I mean, come on. I did everything to not screw it up, and I still screwed it up.
Oh,
and
man.
I took it to 170.
You just
done,
need,
and it was just dry.
You just need
That's
one of those
all.
Little monkeys like they used to have on the back of the dashboard that was a cop watcher, you know? You need something, or a trunk monkey.
Right.
You need something.
Yeah,
some kind of monkey to get you.
Yeah. But anyway, so I used the pellet grill, which should be automatic, easy to do.
Producer's reeling them in. You need a hook, Brian.
It didn't happen. It just didn't happen.
So the show is all about safe hunting, gun ownership, and I didn't mention turkey hunting.
Right.
Because turkey season's coming up, and I was talking with Merle at Allen Bob's, and if you didn't apply for a turkey license already for the spring hunt, it's too late. But there's probably extras, and you'll be able to get over the counters. Just go to the DNR in your state and check it out. You can probably buy over the counters. All states are different. Really also talking about safe gun ownership, and I think that has a lot to do with how you grew up. And some people are just never exposed to guns. I've told you funny stories about some of my wife's friends being afraid of guns and
sure.
panicking when they see one in my house, which is really easy to do.
Right.
But for a lot of us, we grew up in just regular America, and all dads had guns, and they took their sons hunting.
Right. I mean, I started at age 10. I remember vividly of being able to go the first time. When I hit 10, that was the goal. Is you have to, and I had four older brothers, so they'd plowed that path for me, right? And they made all the rules. I just had to adhere to them. And my dad was like, when you turn 10, you get to go out in the deer woods with us, and you got a your permit because you were with your dad. You could hunt. And I had a single shot 20 gauge.
Perfect.
Yep. And you had one shot.
You can only hurt one person
it.
If you have an accident.
Right. But the point was, I didn't, and you went with him. And I spent time with him, and it's memories I have to this day.
Yeah.
Because that was kind of a
you
were no longer a baby. Now you were a young man.
Were you 10?
Yeah, I was 10.
And
but you had to be 10. And
shooting a 20 gauge at 10 is still a pretty good bang.
And we had to practice, right? You just didn't go out there. You had to shoot clay pigeons, and you had to shoot at stationary targets because my birthday was in October. Deer season started in November. Right. So when I turned 10, I got that single shot for a birthday present. Uh-huh. And then here we go.
You
learn how to use it. So
I think I got my first gun at about 10 or 11.
Uh-huh.
And it was a 22.
Yeah.
And that was nice to shoot. We'd go squirrel hunting with that and got proficient. And then just months later, when the fall came, he gave me a 12 gauge. Now I was like 11 when I got the 12 gauge. I do remember that because he took us bird hunting immediately, and I was a little scrawny little 11-year-old with this great big 12 gauge Savage.
Hard for you to carry.
Well, yeah. It wasn't so bad carrying. It's when I took my first shot that I flew across the trail, threw the gun over my head, and landed on my backside.
Yeah.
But my best gun history probably comes from boot camp.
Okay.
And shooting M16s there and sniping with mortar rounds going off next to you. And Steve Prince is with us today. He's going to join us, and he's been through all that. He actually had people lobbing mortars at him in Iraq probably.
Yeah, temporarily. Yeah. I tell people I was in the military 25 years and 10 months and got shot at for about 5 minutes. But I remember those 5 minutes.
That's right. You hear a round go by your head. There's nothing quite like it.
Bet.
But then after that, I went in the Army Guard where I carried an M60 as a 19 Delta, and that was really heavy, but that was a wonderful.
Fired from the open bolt position.
Yes, flame-throwing machine.
The pig.
Yes, yeah. And it was so hot you had to keep changing barrels, so you had an assistant with asbestos mitts, and you'd shoot however many rounds, and it'd be like red hot. You'd have to whip the barrel off, put another barrel on. Load it up and go again. And that was really responsible.
That was a 60
training.
Millimeter?
It's 7.62.
Okay. 7.62.
But it's belt fed.
Yeah.
It's a hammer.
Wicked.
A certain part of your manhood develops when you shoot full auto for the first time. It's like, I don't know, you grow an inch, I think. Maybe that's what happened to me.
So.
At 7 foot tall, right.
Yeah. And that thing, we would set up ambushes like 5,000 yards away.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know about that far.
Okay, 500 yards.
Well, you shoot 700-800 yards without sights because every fifth round is a tracer. So you just walk them in and you just keep lighting it up.
It's like a laser.
You're just having a ball.
And the sound of that brass coming off and the smell, there's nothing like it.
Well, here's a little, I know you guys appreciate your beer trivia. In Vietnam, they didn't have feed trays, so they took Budweiser cans and made them into feed trays. That's where the feed tray came from.
Oh, perfect. That's those guys, they had to innovate.
Coming up next, we're going to talk with our Goomba from the East Coast, who, if you've not listened before, he has a tremendous amount of experience with firearms and safety. So it's Big Paulie. Stick with us. We'll be back.
Fool him good and finally get a shot. Well, he gobbled his head off on the roost. I was just about to cook his goose. He was coming in, then it's like he hit a wall.
The Grillin' Guys are happy to introduce Fenn Valley Vineyards. Fenn Valley Vineyards is the oldest family-owned winery in Michigan, located in the middle of 45 acres of vineyards carpeting the rolling hills near Lake Michigan. Fenn Valley has prided itself in the production of classic European-style wines for the past 22 years. Visit their tasting rooms at the Vineyard Orinsaugatuck, Monday through Saturday, 11 a.m. to 5 p.m. On Sunday, they're open from 1 to 5. Go to FennValley.com.
Hi, it's Shasta from Old World Olive Press. We are a Michigan-based company with stores in Rockford, Grand Rapids, Plymouth, and Birmingham. Visit our tasting rooms to sample over 50 varieties of award-winning olive oils and balsamic vinegars, carefully sourced from small-batch artisans in both hemispheres. We have cooking demonstrations and private parties to help you experience the treasures we've discovered. Step into our kitchen, downtown Rockford, and our newest location on Monroe Center, Old World Olive Press. Let us help you bring the magic into your home. Go to Old World Olive Press.
Hey, when's the last time you had a really great root beer float? Brings back memories, doesn't it? Well, over at Schmoe's, we make root beer and black cherry soda just to bring back those memories. We've got six packs to go if you don't have time to hang around for a pint or a float. But bring the kids, grab a free basket of popcorn, and make your own memories with that new generation. Schmoe's Brewery, Grand Rapids, Michigan, located on Patterson, just north of 28th Street.
Howdy, it's Barbecue Bob from the Grillin' Guys. We're working hard on Operation GI Barbecue, which is an effort to send a plane load of barbecue to our troops. Right now, go to GIBBQ.com, look at the Sapphire Ceramic Grill on auction. You can bid on this $2,000 ceramic grill package at RepoCast.com. That's SAFFIRE at RepoCast. So remember our troops at GIBBQ.com.
Welcome back. You listen to Grilling Guys on the Grilling Guys Talk Network. Hey, it's the weekend. I hope you're out of bed, got your feet on the floor, and planning to create a little grill envy in your neighborhood because barbecue season is upon us. I'm Jop. He's Barbecue Bob. What are we doing, man?
We're doing a little Coldplay right now. Right. Adventures of a Lifetime. On the live line, there's another adventure of a lifetime. His name is Paul, and he lives on the East Coast, known as Big Paulie.
Hey, Jop. Hey, Bob. What's going on, guys?
Well, we wanted your input on safe gun ownership.
Safe gun ownership is the only ownership that should be allowed. Let's be honest. Isn't that what the law already says?
It is, but, you know, there are knuckleheads and there are violators.
Yeah. Well, you know, I'll tell you, I'll give you an opinion, you know, from my years of being a lawyer. Whenever I go to buy a gun, I got to fill out two forms, federal and state. And all of them make me sign off to all these questions about my mental health, character, fitness, criminal record. And if you give an inaccurate or a misleading or erroneous response to any one of those questions, it's a felony. So, you know, it's already a law that you have to have some level of, I guess, competency to have a weapon. But more importantly, I think, you know, good gun safety is instilled in us. I know it was instilled in me by my dad when he taught me how to shoot when I was a little boy. And, you know, and I taught my children the same way. You know, the basic fundamentals. Assume a gun's always loaded. Never point at anything you are not going to shoot and be aware of your target and beyond. I mean, that was drilled into me many, many years ago. And even in the ROTC, you know, the things that they teach you, it's hard to equate ownership today and the things that are happening today with the responsible legal gun ownership and the rights protected under the Second Amendment for American citizens. And when they start to wrap up all these things that are happening, which are terrible, and then they want to take everybody's guns away, well, that's just silly, because we are taught how to handle guns responsibly. And by the way, Bob, you tell me, any of these morons, these idiots that go around doing this ridiculous, insane shooting, do you think any of them, you know, were trained the right way? Do you think any of them had the guns legally and were instructed?
No. There's a common thread with them. Most of them were missing what you and Jop and I all said Our dads took us out. And most of these deranged little punks are kids that grew up without a dad. There's a common thread to a lot of these criminals, and that's a shame. We also want to talk a little bit about turkey hunting. Do you have any turkeys roaming around your place?
No, you know what? Are you kidding me? I got so many turkey running around my property. They come in my back door and they tell me when they're ready to eat because they're all over the place.
How do you
so much game by me? Oh my god!
Do you ever cook wild turkey?
Oh yeah, well, that was one of the first things I shot. I shot it with a Crossman 177 air rifle. Was a turkey. It was a great shot, right in the head, through the eye. Boom! Knocked him right over. And
boom.
Absolutely true.
So,
and we came home and what a great turkey. We actually made turkey soup because we didn't know how to cook it. We were just a bunch of kids. We had this turkey. What are we going to do? So we plucked it, we prepared it, we wound up making this great turkey soup, and man, was it good. Oh, it was so powerful, the flavor.
Probably it was good just because you made it and you shot the turkey,
yeah.
Right? I mean, that enhances the flavor.
And one of the best things about it, by using one pellet, I didn't have to go sifting through for any more pellets.
Right.
I had to break my teeth on it.
So right.
That was a blessing right there.
How about squirrel? You ever hunt squirrel?
Oh, man.
You know, I killed a couple squirrel only because they were eating all my bird food, but... No, I never. I ate squirrel, though. We had a beast feast where I live, and a couple of guys brought over squirrel, rabbit. You know, we had elk, bear that day. It was great. So I've eaten it, but it's not my favorite thing.
Yeah. Well, I know there are a lot of guys
I like
who...
Shooting, you know, I like shooting galamad. You ever go hunting for galamad?
Yeah, it takes a boat and the ocean. But I have a bunch in my freezer if you come to Michigan.
There you go. That's good stuff. It's all good.
So, back to the safe ownership, do you lock your guns up?
Well, yeah, absolutely. And there you go. You see, responsibility, prudence, intelligence, basically, common sense, all these things with gun ownership have to apply. I not only have a special gun room in my house that's under lock and key, but within that room there are little safes and lockers, and they're all locked up. And the ammunition is locked up in a separate area. And, you know, that's something that, because I have three little children, I wanted to make sure that it would be very difficult for anybody, except for me, to get in there and get a weapon and arm it and, you know, use it. Because I collect guns, too, so I have, several hundred of them. And, you know, you have to make sure you have the right ammo for the right gun and the right gun for the right game, as you know. But, yeah, you keep it locked up, you got to keep it safe. And I find where I live, shop is a lot more people are building these gun rooms. They're like little safe rooms, and inside them, again, they put lockers and stuff and safes so that you have two layers of protection before somebody can get a hold of one of the weapons.
I work with a buildings material supply company now called Standard Lumber and Supply and Standard Kitchens, and we're seeing a huge growth in people putting in safe rooms in their houses, and they're looking for vault doors. And a lot of them are when you're building a home, the front porch usually has a foundation all the way around it, right? And most of the time it's filled with sand. But you also can put a lid on top of that with concrete, with the expanse of the front porch. And then you put a vault door on there, and you've got a secure underground room that works as a vault that many people are keeping their guns in. We're seeing this being more and more popular.
Yeah, I just did that my house. But you know,
I'm watching people build them. Yeah,
you've got to watch also on what kind of door you put on a room like that. There's all sorts of variations. You can go to Fort Knox and get a door, and it's going to cost you $6,000.
Yeah.
I have a friend that got an old bank vault door. I love it. I'm envious of it.
Great way to go.
But you got to be careful, too, because you have to control the temperature and the environment in there.
Right.
So you don't have problems with rust. But you know what also is a great thing? I just bought the other day another gun safe, a beautiful gun safe. It can hold 20 guns, and it was on sale for $500. I think it's rated for an hour, you know. But for $500, you can keep your gun safe. That's about the cost of a good shotgun.
Right.
And I think it's smart. And, you know, when people say they don't have the room, whatever, nonsense.
Right.
You can put this gun in your garage. You can put it anywhere. Actually, this one's actually beautiful. I'd like to put it out in my living room. My wife will let me.
Sounds like you went to Costco.
Yeah.
No, my local gun shop, Gary, got it for me. Walter Paul Pack Gunsmith. He's my buddy. He's been selling me guns for decades.
Yeah, he must love you.
I always keep it local. Always keep it local. You know that.
All right, Paul. Well, we just wanted to get your input on safe gun ownership and, I guess, from an East Coast perspective. We've got your friends out in Atlantic City listening in right now at WOND, so you know those folks.
They're great. Let me tell you, I'm so happy. OND is one of my favorites, a great legacy station, one of the best stations in New Jersey, and a lot of good people listening right now. So my hat's off to them, as always.
Great. All right. Thanks so much. Big Paulie from Pennsylvania. Take care, bud.
Take it easy, gentlemen.
Another one of our board of directors, a guy that helps us a lot as we go through the show. If you've been a longtime listener, you've heard us speak with him many, many times. Another guy that's helped us out from time to time is a guy that's a real good friend of Bob's, a gentleman by the name of Babe Winkleman. This guy can hunt and fish anywhere and everywhere he wants, and he's going to tell us a little bit about his spring turkey hunt. Stick with us. We'll be back.
His brain is squirming like a toad. Take a long holiday. Let your children play. If you give this man a...
Have you missed episodes of The Grillin' Guys? Go to thegrillinguys.com and you can play episodes clear back to 2010. Subscribe to the podcast and you'll never miss another one again. That's thegrillinguys.com. Hey, you looking for a relaxed spot to come and have a beer with a couple of buddies? Swing on over to Schmoe's, 2600 Patterson, that's just north of 28th Street, right by the ice rink. We've got 16 taps, free popcorn, free pool, and free Wi-Fi. There's even outlets underneath the bar if you need to charge your device. So come on over to Schmoe's, have a great beer. Bring the kids, we even have root beer. See you soon at Schmoe's, 2600 Patterson, Grand Rapids, Michigan.
Barbecue Bob, and I want to tell you about the biggest beer store in West Michigan. Siciliano's Market at 2840 Lake Michigan Drive has the most craft beers I've ever seen in one location. Siciliano's is a family business that works hard to bring you the best beers in the world to the West Michigan market. Visit Siciliano's and check out the huge selection of home brewing supplies as well. That's Siciliano's Market at SicilianoMKT.com.
If your window sticks, slip, squeak, or leak, then it's time to replace them with Anderson Windows from Standale Lumber's Home Center in Standale. Standard and custom sizes along with low-E glass, low-maintenance exteriors, and rich wood interior can turn simple window replacement into serious home improvement. You'll feel increased security, your home will be much quieter and more comfortable, but the increased curb appeal will make you proud of your home and its new facelift from your Anderson Windows and Standale Lumber's Home Center. 4100 Lake Michigan Drive, Standale, or find us on the web at standalelumber.com.
With the grilling guys coming at you like a pit bull. We smoke butt, and it's a mitful. Backyard masters, barbecue blasters. Nobody smokes a T-bone faster. So when you see the grilling guy rake, hit the brakes, it's gonna be big. Stick around and put down the rake. Fire up your grill, there's no need to bake. You bring the party, we'll bring the smoke. You're gonna eat so much you might choke. So here's how it goes, and everyone knows. You're gonna listen to the Grilling Guys show.
Yeah, you are listening to Grilling Guys on the Grilling Guys Talk Network. I hope you're out of bed and got your feet on the floor and are planning a barbecue for this weekend, because we are on the cusp of spring, and it's time to blow the dust out of your orifice and get your grill going. But I'm Jop, and he's Barbecue Bob. What's cooking, baby?
Yeah, especially if you have a gas grill. That's the orifice he was talking about.
Right.
So anyway, without further ado, on the grilling line right now is the ever-popular Babe Winkleman. How are you, buddy?
Good.
Hey.
Glad to be back home again.
Yeah. You've been doing a lot of traveling. I can never catch you. But that's all right. Your wife takes care of your business very well when you're gone, so that's nice that you have a partner. Want to talk about spring turkey hunting.
Oh, so do I. I've been anticipating it for months. I'm taking three of the girls this year down to Nebraska on the first hunt, and then the second hunt we do it up at a ranch. And it's, God, I can't imagine going through spring without turkey hunting. It is one of the most fun things you can do with your clothes on that I know of.
Do you think they're better eaten in the fall?
Boy, I don't know that. I don't hunt them much in the fall.
Right.
I killed a few of them in the fall, but I mean, to me, what makes turkey hunting so fun and so exciting and so incredibly good is the fact that you learn to talk turkey and then you communicate with the birds and they communicate back with you.
Mm-hmm.
And you're trying to get the tom to do the reverse of nature. In nature, he struts and puffs and does his thing, and he calls the hens that are ready over to him. What you're trying to do is sound like the horniest hen in the woods and make him come to you, which is the opposite of what he does. People wonder why they hang up a bunch of times. Well, they'll get out and then they'll strut around out in the field, and they expect that hen to come to them, period. And sometimes they'll just hang up there. My daughter had one 2 years ago in Missouri doing that and doing it, and it sat there for a half an hour. And finally she just got sick of it, and she said, looked at the owner of the outfitting business, Royal Peterson, and said, I'm going to shoot that turkey. And she pulled her shotgun up, and boom, and it made three steps and dropped down. It was 73 yards away.
Wow.
And she free-handed the shot.
Nice.
Hey, did her dad teach her how to shoot?
Pardon?
I said, did her dad teach her how to shoot?
Her dad sure did. But, you know, it's like any teacher in a classroom. The teacher can teach all they want to. If the student doesn't want to learn, they don't. And Carly wanted to absolutely take every word that I said to heart. She's the only person I've ever known at 100 yards. We have a range up at the ranch, and at 100 yards, there's a one-inch square with a quarter-inch black dot in the center of it. And she fired four bullets. The first one took the dot out. The second one, she was mad because she'd flinched. The third one and the fourth one, she said, were good shots. We went down to the target, and there were two holes. Three bullets went through the same quarter-inch black dot. And one of them was 3/8 of an inch high and right, and she was mad about that at 100 yards. She expected to put them all four through the same black dot. I've never seen a person do that, ever.
That's pretty good. So let's talk about some hunter safety when you're turkey hunting. What do you want to watch out for?
Ticks.
Do you hunt ticks?
I'm dead serious. Ticks you want to watch out for. The baby ticks right now are coming out as soon as it starts to thaw in spring. I was just down by Chicago in southern Wisconsin, and the ticks are already out there, and I'm sure they are in Michigan too. We've got 3 feet of ice here. We're bottoming out augers yet, and then we got 2 feet of snow on top of it. But there is no time when it is a worse time to be in the woods from a tick standpoint. And the most aggressive ones are the larva of the black-legged ticks, the deer ticks.
If you just tuned in, you're listening to the Grilling Guys, and we're talking right now with Babe Winkleman from Brainerd, Minnesota. That's why he's got so much snow and ice. You're up there pretty good, but we're talking about turkey hunting safety, and you have encountered a lot of trouble with ticks and maybe Lyme's disease.
We've had, in my family, we've gotten Lyme disease 6 times from turkey hunting. We've, with my children and I, we've had it 7 times. My one daughter got it in the suburb where she lives in Minneapolis.
That's
but,
crazy.
We have an epidemic going on. There's more people being diagnosed daily with Lyme disease than there are women with breast cancer.
No kidding.
Or then there are men and women with colon cancer.
Wow.
300,000 to 500,000 people a year are being diagnosed with it. And the tick experts tell me for everyone that's diagnosed, 72% of the rest of the people, or basically 3 out of 4, are being misdiagnosed. And when Lyme goes unchecked, and gets to past stage two of the life of the the bacteria, then they leave your bloodstream and they burrow into your bones and your joints and other places, and they go into remission, and you're into chronic Lyme. There is no, those ticks, when they go into remission, they might stay there weeks, months, or multiple years before they come out.
So what's the what's the safe thing to do to keep those ticks from infecting you?
Well, you've got to protect yourself. You've got to become tick conscious, and you've got to protect yourself. I worked for 2 years with a group of the 10 of the best people. I mean, the number one doctor, number one tick diagnostic center, number one research laboratory, to put together a tick-borne illness information center so there would be a place in America where all Americans can go for free and learn everything they need to know to keep themselves tick-free, to keep their ticks or their pets tick-free, and reduce the amount of ticks in their own backyard.
Now, when we were kids in the UP, every time we came out of the pasture or from the creek or wherever we were playing, we'd always go upstairs and take our clothes off, and you'd have to have your mom or your cousins or whatever. You'd all spin around, and you'd have to go over your entire body, and that's really kind of what you have to do, right?
That's part of it, but see, if you're to that point already, the larva ticks are about one-third the size of a poppy seed. You can barely see them. You cannot feel them bite you, and if they're on you for even a couple of hours, that's enough to transmit an illness to them.
So what are the three big symptoms people should be aware of if they're out in the woods right now this time of year?
Flu-like symptoms, dizziness. Sometimes it could be a palsy in the face, and one side of your face kind of starts to droop and sag like if you've had a stroke. In about 40% of the cases, people will get a rash with a black dot in the middle of it, but don't count on the rash. You've got to be aware of the other symptoms as well. But you can make yourself 100% tick-free doing the right things. 2 years ago, four of my daughters and I went down to Missouri, and we had the right products. The two products you need are permethrin and picaridin, and we had them with us. But there was no instruction on what to do. There was no place to find out, so we used them like a normal insect repellent. And three of us got Lyme disease from that trip because we didn't know how to do right things right. You start with permethrin, and this is all on the website, and we're using permethrin by insect.
And what is that website?
It's Winkleman.com.
Okay.
It simply lives on our website at Winkleman.com.
All right.
When you come to the landing page, there's a big square there that says Tick-Borne Illness Center. Click it, and you are into 100% of everything on the ticks, goes through every disease, all of the symptoms, all of the complications and symptoms, all of the culprits, and shows them through all stages of their life, every tick and what they cause, and then all of the solutions.
All right, buddy. We're out of time. I got to cut you short. I hate to, but thanks so much for that information. Tell us your website one more time.
It's Winkleman.com, and they've got to learn how to use the permethrin and picaridin right. There's a video on there that shows them, and it explains everything in detail.
You heard it from the authority. This guy's fought it for years and years and years. It's happy moose and turkey hunting. I want to go moose hunting with you, so that was a Freudian slip. Babe, good talking to you, and I'll chat with you, I'm sure, in the next few days.
Okay, Bob, just one last thing. The thing that give you an idea how bad this is, of the adults that get chronic Lyme, one-third of them are committing suicide because they can't live with it.
Oh.
Of the teenagers who get chronic Lyme, it's closer to 50%. This is not something people can take lightly.
Got it. All right, sir. Thanks so much.
Have a great morning.
All right, buddy.
All right, thank you. Babe Winkleman, always a wealth of information. Wasn't sure we were going there, but we got there, so it's all good. Coming up next, we got our friend Steve Prince from Prince Arming. Going to talk a little gun safety, tactical shooting, and a bunch of other good stuff. Stick with us. We'll be back.
Back where I belong. Side.
This is Jop from the Grilling Guys, and I want to talk to you about Garrett's Appliances, which is your one-stop shop for all your barbecue supplies, tools, grills, and smokers in West Michigan. Garrett's has grills for your outdoor kitchen. In fact, we at Home Life Outdoor Kitchens use them exclusively as our supplier for the very best equipment available. That's GarrettsAppliances.com, GarrettsAppliances.com.
Have you ever wanted a great craft beer, but alcohol just isn't in the program that day? Well, the beer engineers at Schmoe's Brewing Company have engineered a beer just for you. A pale ale with less than 0.5% of alcohol. Ask for Schmoe's 120 where you dine or drink. It's the non-alcoholic answer with a craft beer taste. Schmoe's Brewing Company, Grand Rapids, Michigan, Beer City, USA.
Hi, this is Tim Sobey. Sobey Meats is an 11-year-old business on Remembrance Drive in Walker. We have high-quality custom meats as well as seafood, produce, beer, and wine. Sobey Meats is proud to supply the barbecue enthusiasts with over 50 sauces, Kansas City and Memphis rubs, as well as barbecue supplies. Our meat counter is 60 feet long with 70 different homemade sausages. Check us out at SobeyMeats.com. That's SobeyMeats.com.
We live it. We love it. Allen Bob Sports. Sportsman serving sportsmen. It's more than a sport. It's a way of life. Your satisfaction's been our name. Since 59, been at the top of our game. We stand behind our name. We live it. We love it. Allen Bob Sports. Sportsman serving sportsmen.
Preacher man says it's the end of time, and that Mississippi River, she's a-going dry.
Welcome back. You listen to the Grilling Guys on the Grilling Guys Talk Network. Hope your weekend is getting started off on a positive note. Ours is. And Barbecue Bob, we've been talking with a little bit of gun safety and safe gun ownership, and I think we want to pick that subject back up now, right?
Yeah, we didn't get quite enough turkey hunting out of Babe. I needed some more tips because...
No more ticks, just more tips.
I plan on going up to Whipple, and I'm going to take my wife with me because I got this new big blind from Alan Bob's.
You just want to check her for ticks, don't you?
I do. We got a little love shack up there. And anyway, I got this perfect spot where every night the turkeys just come in, and if I can get a license, I'm going to be doing that.
Yep.
Because they'll march right by me. I mean, maybe I'll give her a shotgun too and let her pick
get
one
two out. Licenses, right? Yeah, that smoker's big enough for two turkeys. You can
oh,
do
yeah.
that.
Yeah. Yeah. So anyway, with us right now is an old friend of both of ours, Steve Prince. Jop and I took concealed carry class from. Steve, he owns a company called Prince Arming, amongst other things. Welcome back.
Thanks. Yeah, Prince Arming has been a good business for me. Going back into my military background, it was a perfect fit. And my main mission is Warrior Set Free, a ministry for veterans. But this is a great side job, and people tell me I do it really well.
And so. I think you were like the dean of the Army Recruiting ROTC at Western, right?
So the guy in charge of that program, his official title is the professor of military science. So okay. He's the PMS. I was an assistant professor of military.
You were the APMS.
He was the dean at Western, okay? He was the Army dean.
No.
That's it.
Nope.
So that's how I met you anyway.
Yep, yeah. Through
I
ROTC.
Think donating some bows or something.
We did
Alan Bob's.
Bob's, Camp Cuervo Archery Club, getting archery equipment into the hands of veterans.
And then Jop and I went out to your house.
Right, and we took a little gun safety, and then we also took our concealed carry classes from you. You had the lawyers come in and the whole deal, talk a little bit about that, because there may be some confusion or just lack of understanding of who can take that class and how long it takes and what it's all about.
Right. You have to be 21 in order to get your concealed pistol license, and the confusion starts when people call it a CCW. Getting a CCW is a 5-year felony. It means you did it illegally, although Michigan used to call the license that. So to get your CPL, you have to be 21. You have to pass the class. It's got to be a minimum 8-hour class. I'm registered with the, or certified through the NRA and the MCRGO, Michigan Coalition for Responsible Gun Owners. And there are a couple others, but you have to take that class and then you apply through the state. So the state actually issues you your license. And when I send out a welcome email, I send the state application, and it lists all the law violations. If you've had DUIs, you might not get approved,
right.
but that form is open source on the internet. And so you can know before you get trained or before you apply whether or not you'll get approved for the license.
I see. So, and most people that go through the class, it's I understand that the law has relaxed a little bit on that as far as the process that you go through. It's more standardized on the state rather than being controlled by the counties now. Is that
right? Accurate? I think it was a couple years ago. They right. took every state or every county was doing it different. In Michigan, so for example, Ottawa County, I was told you had to appear in front of a board and answer questions, and then they'd decide based on your questions. So the state has now standardized it. It's the same for every person. You go to the county clerk of the county you live in, and they process it, and then they mail it to you.
So if you've had any local trouble, they're going to know everything.
They'll know. And as far as this national argument about background checks, when you apply for that concealed pistol license, you're submitting yourself to a higher standard, a very in-depth background check. And then when you get your CPL, it shows that you've been approved through that process.
They certified my me free of polyps and everything after my background check.
Is that right?
Right. Yeah.
That was a different investigation, Bob. Yeah. You're confused there. But so, Steve, let's talk about maybe some of the common misconceptions on where you can and where you cannot legally carry your pistol.
Right. And that one of the things we talk about in the law brief is the laws change every year. So if you have a concealed pistol license, the no carry zones are listed on the back of your CPL, your concealed pistol license. So it's schools, bars, churches. Churches can grant permission to certain individuals if they'd like. Hospitals, casinos. Another one that's confusing is universities and colleges. You can't go into a classroom or a dorm, but some universities have their own laws. So that's something that still hasn't been decided. But they're listed right on there. They're also on the Michigan State Police webpage.
You bring up churches. There is an organization called Sheepdog.
Sheepdog
that?
Seminars, yeah. Is a person named Lieutenant Colonel Dave Grossman, who I go all the way back to when I was a cadet in the Army in 1996.
Uh-huh.
He was one of our ROTC instructors. And if you really want to know the truth about school shootings, workplace shootings, church shootings, all these murders that are happening, Dave Grossman is the number one expert. He wrote a book called On Killing. In the 90s, he wrote a follow-up book called On Combat.
Aren't we going to be talking about him at the end of this segment? Because that name sounds
we are.
Familiar.
I'm bringing him to town April 28th.
How about that?
So
yeah. So in other words, a lot of churches like ours, we have Sheepdog at our church. And
yes.
There are concealed carry members. It's a big church. And we have quite a few guys now that are in the organization.
Right.
It's very quiet.
And it should be.
Yep.
It should be. You shouldn't have badges.
No.
One friend that
nope.
that did this, someone came to their church and they all had security badges on. And the guy goes, oh, you have shoot me first badges. Because if someone comes
yeah,
in
right.
to shoot up your church and murder people,
right.
they're going to shoot the guys who
well,
might shoot
like
them back
putting
first.
Up a sign that says it's a gun-free zone. I mean, you're,
yeah.
you're asking for the murderers to find you.
Yes. And my other personal little tidbit on all the arguments going on right now, if another law would stop these murders from happening, why don't we just make murder illegal? And then if the laws will change it, then we're done. Just make murder illegal.
I think it already is.
Oh,
yeah,
wow.
Right.
So nobody should be doing that anyway because it's illegal.
Yeah.
Right.
So
now they'll find a way no matter what.
Well, the point there is the law doesn't matter.
No,
there,
right?
there
the person,
you go.
The
That's
deranged
exactly
person
right.
is going to do what the deranged person does.
Exactly.
Right. And making it easier or more difficult for me to get a gun if I'm that deranged person, I would assume, I don't know, thank God I don't know, but I would assume you can get a gun. Right?
That's why
black market somewhere doing something
correct.
Illegally.
That's why the
yeah.
sheepdogs of the world are so important.
And that sheepdog term, Colonel Grossman coined that, and if you saw American Sniper, Chris Kyle
right.
explains that to his kids sitting at the kitchen table. they asked Colonel Grossman's permission to use that in the movie. So that's nice. He developed that. Colonel Cooper had a part in that before Colonel Grossman as well. But these guys are the number one experts.
Yeah.
So you are, you're inviting them to town.
We have them coming April 28th. If you go to sheepdogseminars.com or warriorsetfree.com, it's right at the top of our webpage.
So I have a question for you. Now, there are a lot of guys that get certified as instructors, right?
Correct.
I don't think it takes quite enough to get certification. In other words, what I'm saying is if you go to Prince Arming, if you talk to this gentleman with us, you have Army-trained, a professional gun handler, instructor, instead of just some guy who took a course and, you know, maybe just got into it and passed the test.
And I don't
time-tested. Okay, no, I'm going to sell you. This is the deal. This guy can teach you tactics. And I think that's a big part of carrying a weapon is to be tactical, not just to know your legal limits and laws and rights, but tactics and how to defend yourself and other people if you're going to be a real sheepdog. That's just my opinion.
Thank you. And all these guys that are instructors are my friends. I don't badmouth them, but
I'm not
But some of these guys are gun experts that work in gun stores and can tell you everything about every model of every gun. I'm not that guy. I'm an instructor who, in the military, if you're not going to war, you're training to go to war. Right. So we train.
Right.
So even being an ROTC instructor, I'm an instructor who has a passion for guns. So there's a difference with, I want you to learn, I want you to know the information, and I'll work with you until you do.
And if you have that responsibility of carrying a weapon, there's an awful lot that goes with that.
Absolutely.
And that's a mindset. But anyway, Steve Prince, Prince Arming, thanks so much for joining us.
Coming up next, we're going to look for a little feral hog. Stick with us. We'll be back.
I'm an American soldier, an American. Beside my brothers and my sisters, I will proudly take a stand. When liberty's in jeopardy, I will always do what's right.
Wouldn't it be sweet if life just came with an assist when you needed it? At State Farm, we live for a great assist, and that's why State Farm agent Sterling Massey is proud to be a part of the NBA, the National Bureau of Assists. Whether you're driving the lane or defending the house, when it comes to assisting you with your insurance and financial needs, Sterling and his staff make it look as easy as a behind-the-back dime dropper. Call Sterling Massey at 616-532-6071.
Welcome back. You listen to the Grilling Guys. We got a little bonus segment here. We asked Steve to stick around because he's got a great cause that he's involved with, and we just want to share that with you because I think that this might reach out and touch some people. Tell us a little about it, Steve.
Well, Warrior Set Free is a local ministry in Grand Rapids focused specifically on helping military veterans deal with the trauma of whether it's typical combat service or just being in the military. Even some guys who had trauma in their lives before they entered. So Set Free Ministries helps absolutely everybody. But if you're a veteran, you only will feel comfortable telling those stories to someone who's been there. So everything is veteran to veteran, and we use biblical Christian principles to help people not just come to terms with, but fix the pain of what they're dealing with.
That so, was normally fixed by alcohol and drugs and avoiding it or whatever
and
in
even,
many cases.
And even currently the VA's two main purpose, their two main tools to fight post-traumatic stress are counseling, which is valuable depending on your counselor, and medications.
Opioids.
And I have a master's in counseling, but I found that the best advice, come in my opinion, and battle-tested, comes from Scripture. And so we can help guys come to terms with killing the enemy, being let down by their leadership, doing things that they can't tell anybody they did. I've heard those stories.
Now, you said this is in the greater Grand Rapids, Michigan area, but if somebody were listening to this, they could plug into this too as well,
absolutely,
couldn't they?
We have warriorsetfree.com and then our Facebook page. I have a Twitter I don't use a whole lot, but I'm a little older. But if they contact Warrior Set Free, they'll get me, Like, it's my gig. We have a group of veterans, and I help guys in North Carolina, Mississippi, North Dakota, South Dakota. I'll talk to them, and I can help them over the phone.
And that's the real magic of this thing, is that it's got to be headquartered and based somewhere, but your outreach is really unlimited, and that's why I wanted to bring that up, because I believe that there's a component of our listener base that might be able to benefit from this, and it's just tough. It's not something you want to talk about with everybody, I'm sure, right. But right. If you've got somebody that's been there, done that, and can relate to it, man, this is our guy.
Yeah. So coming up the end of April, April 28th, we're bringing in Dave Grossman, who's literally the number one authority in killing and combat. The guy's a straight-up genius. Look up those books. Look him up on YouTube and listen to him speak. And his typical message is, hey, you're going into war, you're going into combat, or you're a police officer. This is what's going to happen to you in combat. So he talks about audio exclusion, time dilation, tunnel vision, all that stuff. We are asking him to talk about the aftercare. How do you deal with dealing with what you did or what you had to do or what you saw? And we, as veterans, we believe lies. We're taught in the military, you're responsible for everything. I had a soldier commit suicide. My first thought was, what did I do wrong? But it wasn't my fault. It had nothing to do with the military. But that was my first thought. So Grossman, being an expert on all this stuff, he's going to speak about that. We're going to talk about Warriors Set Free and how we can help.
When is locally. That and where is it?
April 28th on warriorsetfree.com. The information's at the top. It'll be at the Van Singel Auditorium, which is in Byron Center High School in Byron Center, Michigan.
That's awesome. Wonderful, wonderful mission. This is a great guy. If you want to learn about any of his stuff, go to the website.
WarriorsetFree.com, WarriorsetFree on Facebook.
And you can also check him out for Prince Arming.
Like Prince Charming without the CH.
Right, yeah.
Thanks,
yeah,
Uncle Tom. Remember that.
Looks just like him, too. But anyway, hey, you've been listening to the Grilling Guys on the Grilling Guys Talk Network. We appreciate you tuning in each and every week. Get out there and have a little fun in your backyard. Hopefully it'll get some smoke and create some envy. We'll talk with you next week.
Yeah, I learned a lot from watching his ways, like how to hunt smart and how to be safe. He said one of these days.